You're listening to Intellectual Erection,
a place where we talk about the naughty.
Just stimulate your thinking.
You're listening
to
Intellectual Erection.
Intellectual Erection.
Передачу, где мы говорим о диспуте, там субъекты секса.
Hablamos de los sexos.
В компаниях, но мы говорим о
информации. Мы говорим о дефибюдне.
To stimulate your thinking.
Welcome back to Intellectual Erection. I'm your host, Patrick, and today I'll be talking to Miss Lola Jean.
I've always loved being spanked.
The sex machine. You'll find out why. But before we get to the episode, I just wanted to share some exciting news. Intellectual Erection has its first patron on Patreon under our slut tier. So a big shout out goes to Tall Blonde and Kinky. Tall Blonde and Kinky has become our first patron on Patreon under the slut tier. So if you are interested in supporting the podcast, then please go to patreon.com/intellectualerection, all one word, and you can join any one of the tiers. We have the vanilla tier, it's $1. We have the unicorn tier, that's $5. Slut tier is $10. $25 for the daddy tier, $50 for the poly fam, and $100 for the master tier. So if you're interested in any of those and supporting the podcast, then please visit patreon.com/intellectualerection and become a patron. Otherwise, like I said, if you can't contribute financially, I would love it if you went out and wrote a review about the show, what you like. If you have some comments, feedback, criticism, send it in there. Put it on social media, share this stuff, because it increases visibility for sex positivity for this podcast, and it really helps it grow. Otherwise, you can also visit the online store, intellectual-erection.square.site, if you still want to purchase any of our swag, including the used Project panties. We still have a bunch worn by the models, and a third of those proceeds still go to sex workers' rights. And as always, like, subscribe, review, and most of all, enjoy. I'm sitting here today with
Lola Jean.
And if you heard previous episodes referring to a Lola Jean who squirted in a bucket by weight, I'm sorry to disappoint. This is not that Lola Jean.
Not me.
But this is a very, very exciting Lola Jean.
Thank you.
Why don't you tell our perky listeners what you do?
So I am an aqua flirt at Oasis Aqua Lounge. And I guess I'm kind of an erotic model. I say that because I don't really model. I just take lots of pictures while I'm having sex with people I care about. And I'm starting to kind of go into the porn world as well a little bit.
All right.
Yeah.
So we have Aqua Flirt at Oasis Aqua Lounge. What is that place? No one's ever heard about it on this show before.
We've never talked about it. It's this magical, sex positive, nudity positive club in, I guess it's kind of the east end of Toronto, sort of east-ish.
It's downtown.
And it's great. You can be naked in a pool. There's always cool events. There's really cool people who present and speak about all kinds of things.
Like this cool person sitting
right
here.
Yeah, your daddy thing was amazing. You're
great. Thank you. I do try. And you started off as a customer client. What do we call you?
I was a regular guest. A guest hotel.
You
lingo.
Were a guest.
Yeah,
there you
a
go.
Guest.
Oh, you are our guest at the spa.
Yeah. I started doing spectator sex there because we learned that, you know, there's perks. You get entry for free if you perform. Myself and my partner are huge exhibitionists and love having people watch us. So that was kind of how I started working there, I guess, was doing that and kind of getting familiar with Fatima. Did a porn shoot, like a yoga themed porn shoot, and then
right, that's the one that I watched. So I saw this on the TV at Oasis.
Yes.
With you and your co-star.
Yes.
I forget his stage name.
Chet. Yes, Chet Ocean.
Chet Ocean. Not Chet
Frank
Baker.
Ocean's
not Chet
cousin.
Baker. Not Chet Faker. Chet Ocean.
Yes. Yeah.
Is that a squirt joke?
No. Like he's just okay, trying to be good. Cool and
he's
hip.
He's just trying to be cool. All right. He is pretty cool and hip.
He tries.
He definitely tries. Not too hard. He's like
He's pretty good.
Medium cool.
Yeah, medium cool. For a dad, he's cool.
Oh, he's a dad, is he? Yeah. Oh, I thought he was just a daddy.
Daddy and dad.
Oh, that's pretty nice. That's a good combo.
Definitely.
I had a an interview with somebody, and I titled it, because I'm very witty, I wrote From Dad to Daddy. Because he's both.
Yeah, I love that.
So, you are Lola Jean from Oasis Aqua Lounge, Aqua Flirt, erotic model, and porn star.
Eventually. I don't know if I'm a porn star yet. I guess for Oasis.
You're a porn actor.
Yeah.
And then, eventually, who knows?
A professional amateur porn star.
Professional amateur porn star. Okay. All right. I'm sure that sounds absolutely right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, first thing I usually like to ask before we get into what you've been doing and all this kind of stuff, which is always cool, mm-hmm. is that origin question. Yeah. So you've only been in Toronto for
2 years.
2 years.
Yeah. This would be like end of April is my 2 year anniversary. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So well, welcome.
Thank you.
I hope you've been enjoying it here.
Love it.
Awesome. So back home, were you always kind of into the kinkier side of things, or did this kind of spring up out of nowhere? And if not just then, if there's like an even earlier experience, I usually like to talk about early sexual experiences. There's like a weird Freudian in me that wants to know if there's anything that like caught your interest when you were young, like some kind of bondage, some kind of something. I don't know.
I've always loved being spanked. Like, I mean, maybe not necessarily punishment from my parents, but in my early teens and when I was starting to become sexually active, it was something that I really enjoyed, like really rough sex and being spanked. However, didn't really find many partners in the little place where I'm from that are into that sort of thing, right? It's kind of...
So you'd ask and they just...
Would you spank me? No, that's weird. Like, it was very...
Really?
Yeah, it wasn't really as socially acceptable. Also kind of struggled with monogamy, for sure. Like, I think I've always been more of an open person because I've struggled with monogamous relationships since the beginning of time, basically.
What do you mean by struggle?
Like cheating. On the
heavy
person.
Cheating.
Yeah, yeah.
That's always what people mean when they say, I struggle with this concept. Yes. I've been fucking cheating.
I've just been doing the worst job at being monogamous. Yeah.
Oh, that's so weird because you're so sweet. It's like, it's hard to picture you doing that.
I mean, there was usually some liquid courage involved behind it. I don't drink alcohol anymore, not for that specific reason, just a health lifestyle
choice.
It's
cheaper.
It's way cheaper, yeah.
If you realize you add up your alcohol consumption, my ex used to do this, we'd be spending like $400 to $500 a month on booze, whether it's LCBO, going out, whatever it was, like the tally was $400 to $500 a month.
And there's no health benefits whatsoever. Like, it's not good for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes you like fat. Like, I was way heavier when I drank too.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of carbs, a lot of sugar and empty calories. And when you're drunk, you tend to eat more at night because you come home and you're like, I got to put something in this to absorb the alcohol.
I want McDonald's.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel you. I did a little bit of not drinking for about a month. I was coming to Oasis sober and it was great.
It's a good place to go. Like, that kind of became my bar when I moved here.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to drink to be there. And, like, most people there aren't super intoxicated either. So
hopefully.
It was a really, like, safe environment for the most part to engage with people. Yeah.
Well, that's good. Yeah. So, back home, you're saying only... There was nothing really early then that triggered any interest other than...
Other than my spanking.
I've always been
into that. Huh. Always.
I realized how much I hate spanking recently. I like giving.
Yeah.
I like it. I love giving. Yes. But on one of the last interviews I had with Nikki, I was sitting here and I was saying, well, you know what? I've never bottomed for anybody. Maybe I should try it. And recently it happened that it was my birthday and somebody gave me Spanx for the amount of years that I've been alive.
Ah.
Two people did it not right in a row, and I just realized how much I really fucking hate it, and I am not into it. I don't like any pain, never have.
Not a masochist.
Definitely not. Not a masochist, not a happy bottom, and no. So yeah, it's good to learn good to know. So then, was it only when you came to Toronto that you got to kind of explore the kinky side of things, or did you actually get a little bit of play back home?
I remember joining FetLife when I still lived back home.
Ah.
And it's a very, very small place. And mm-hmm. I saw a friend...
Hence the not labeling the place.
Yes. We just won't mention that will not be named.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw a friend's boyfriend mm-hmm. on there.
Ooh.
And he messaged me instantly outside of FetLife and was like, please don't tell anyone that you saw me. Like, he's very ashamed to be on it. And then I realized that, like, I probably know everyone that is local on FetLife, and I deactivated my account and just kind of forgot about it until I moved to Ontario, and the slut came out in full force.
Well, I see a lot of people that have their FetLife zone as Antarctica.
Yes.
Right? So a lot of people do that because they don't want to be located.
They don't want to be trapped by where they're from, which is safe, which is fair.
I'm like, there's a lot of sluts in Antarctica.
Why am I here? Yeah. I mean, especially when you're come from a really small place and you want to be anonymous, you don't want people to track, like, oh, this person is here where there's like no population. So yeah,
I remember even when Tinder first came out, and I'd go up to my cottage in a small town, and I'd be squirreling through Tinder to bury my nuts. That's pretty good. Come on, I'll give myself a pat on the back. So I'd be squirreling through Tinder there, and it was like a very limited few people. And then as I'm swiping, I'm walking around and I'm seeing
you see them.
Like, oh, this is weird. I'm like, we're supposed to be anonymous.
We would play a game where I'm from where one girl would have her Tinder open and there'd be like four or five of us sitting around a table. And we'd be like, everyone would be like, oh, I know that guy. Oh, I fucked that guy. Or that's so-and-so's cousin. And then you'd see them in the bar you were sitting in. Like,
and hopefully all those comments didn't come from one person.
No, it would be like a general group of people. But yeah, Tinder... Yeah. You run out of people very quickly.
Yeah, I can imagine.
There's no more swipes left after you swipe no on them all.
So small town, big city.
Yes.
You seem like you like it here.
I love it. I feel like I finally can be the person that I was supposed to be being here.
And what are you supposed to be?
Like a crazy slut. And it's awesome. And there's such an amazing community of people here that are doing the same thing and are so supportive of one another. Like, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, that's been my favorite part of being part of this community, is just realizing how awesomely supportive the community can be, not just sexually, but with anything, with relationship, with communication, with just hanging out.
Yeah, you know? Emotional support. Like,
absolutely.
It's funny how the other girls I work with at Oasis are just, you know, we're such a tight knit. Like, we really have each other's backs no matter what. If someone's fighting with their boyfriend or going through a living situation, like, yeah, everybody's super supportive.
I'm laughing because I kind of know these inside stories. Right, you know, I'm picturing who you're talking about. Yeah. But I mean, I've had two other Aqua Flirts on Intellectual Erection. Did an episode with Ace. It was one of the early episodes. Ace, the professional tease allure.
Love
and
her.
Then with Cecilia Morel, who is one of your co-porn stars.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and she also runs the, or no, she hosts the Money Shot, right?
Yeah, Cece's taking over, I think, a bit more of the porn production because she has been doing porn for a while, and she's amazing. Like, she has such a great following, such a great personality. It was really funny. We had a moment. I was at Oasis off duty, just hanging out and Cece was operating the Sibian, and I went in. I'm like, I'm just gonna, you know, go on this. And then there was like a male guest who asked if he could watch, and we were like, yeah. And it was funny because, like, I'm wearing shitty like plaid shirt, Cece's wearing sweatpants and stuff, and we're like, well, we did this before, but there's a porn where we're all like made up and pretty, and it was like reenacting the scene. And he was like, no, I saw the porn. So he's like, he got to see it
again, the porn, and now
in real life. Aww, that's kinda nice. It was kind of weird. It was kind of funny.
Oh, okay. So,
well, weird. I mean, it was nice. Like, I'm sure he got
for him.
Enjoyed it for him.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah.
He had a good time.
Usually, when I ride the Sibian, it's more of an experience for me. Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't mind if people watch, but it's kind of hard to come when people are watching you and it's just you, right? So that porn experience was a little...
That thing is loud and strong.
So loud.
Yeah. So for anyone who doesn't know what a Sibian is, you should Google it.
Yeah.
Google
and Sibian. Buy one.
And, well, it's about a grand now. They're cheaper than they used to be.
I think they used to be three.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now I think it was, last time I saw it was on sale for about $1,000. It looks like a horse saddle that you put on the floor, plug into an outlet. And it has a bunch of dials. I think three dials.
There's two. There's
two dials.
A vibration and rotation.
And rotation. Yeah. Vibration and rotation. And on maximum, the Sibian will vibrate your entire house, apartment.
Everything. Yeah. You'll hear it down the block, probably. It's a very high-powered vibrating machine.
The other day, I walked into Oasis. I was down by the bar, and I could hear it from upstairs because it was vibrating the entire ceiling. So imagine sitting on one of those, and then it has attachments that go from something that is a replica of a human finger.
Yep. Yeah, seen it.
To a full out dildo. And there's also pads just to vibrate on whatever genital you want to put on there.
There's a double penetration one too.
Is there?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I think I saw it. Yeah. They look weird when you turn it on and nobody's sitting on it because they flop around a lot.
Yeah, but they do look really weird.
So the Sibian is something you can try if you come to Oasis on certain nights.
Yeah, myself or Cece or any of the lovely Aqua Flirts will operate it and kind of help guide you to orgasm.
It's fun. It's really fun. It's kind of almost unstoppable. That thing is just deadly.
Yeah.
Okay. So then we kind of got a little bit of your backstory. You're here now. Yeah. You're unfurling. No, is that right? Unfurling your sluthood. Let's pretend that that's the way to say that.
Okay.
And what have you kind of gotten into? What part of the BDSM kink world are you interested in now? Because you started with spanking. I've seen you get enough spanking, so I'm assuming it's kind of bloomed from that.
Definitely. I guess spanking has kind of grown to like using like implements. I mean, even just sort of developing BDSM relationships with people. Like I bottom for lots of people now, where it used to be just one specific partner. I definitely enjoy BDSM with and without the sex aspect. Like I do really enjoy, like I'm the opposite of you. I really do enjoy being a masochist and experiencing pain. But going back to me being a bit of an exhibitionist, really love doing erotic photography. It's something I have a very expressive face. So pictures of me having sex turn out really great. Like if I have to pose for a picture, you can see the difference if you see my fet life.
Right.
Like I'm much more comfortable when I'm having sex. Like it's just more natural, and
because you're caught up in the moment. And
exactly. You don't feel like you have I'm not to pose. Really worried about what I'm doing or what I'm looking like. Whereas if it's pictures of just me, I am kind of more focused on that. But I love erotic photography. It's so fun. It's so fun to make beautiful images of fucking and getting fucked, and yeah, it's great.
Well,
am I allowed to say swear fucked? Words?
No, absolutely
not.
No,
you can't say that here.
No, you mustn't. If people want to see some of your stuff, I think on Insta, right? There's some things on there. What is it?
So my Instagram is Miss Lola Jean XO, because Miss Lola Jean was taken probably by the squirter.
By the squirter.
And there's mostly solo stuff of me on there. There's a few with me and a partner. Yeah, most of my, all of my shoots that I do with people that I am involved with or care about. So, and I feel like that's probably the route I'm going to take with porn as well. I just like
fucking people that you like.
Fucking people that I love and like. Right, and it's more comfortable. It's more organic. It looks more natural for the camera. So, yeah.
Well, anyone who's heard the episode that I just recently did with Fatima Meshtab, co-owner of Oasis and porn producer, we were discussing actually the difference between her perspective on the type of porn that's produced at Oasis from Money Shot through J-Rotica versus mainstream porn and amateur porn, all sorts of other kinds of porn. And her philosophy was just that it's nice to have organic relationships that are on camera. So it's people that know each other, have pre-existing relationships, or at least in the least connected sense, at least they know each other from the club.
Yeah.
And they're not complete strangers. Yeah. She says she doesn't really like to hook up strangers to fuck on set because it doesn't feel as organic as people who've already interacted. And in the best case scenarios, like in your case, you have your partners.
Exactly. It's awesome.
Which you seem to have a little bit of a web of partners going on. So
I have a few.
I should ask you some questions about polyamory.
Yeah, totally. I'm new to polyamory. I mean, since moving here, poly doesn't exist back home at all. Just lots of toxic monogamy, as we touched on, but
that's fair. Yeah. So how do you navigate polyamory? What do you... is it built into your identity? Do you use certain poly labels?
I think it's starting to become... I've accepted it as part of my identity. Mm-hmm. I think that everybody who first starts out attempting poly relationships, there's a lot of moments where you're like, I can't poly. I'm so bad at poly. This is not for me. You know, you have so many doubts and...
feelings.
Hesitations and feelings. And it is a lot of learning about yourself and being comfortable with yourself and realizing how that translates into your other relationships with anyone, not just romantic. But yeah, I guess it is part of my identity now. I am polyamorous. I use all the lingo.
Yeah.
I have metamors and, you know, all that stuff.
Metamors. Yeah. I do like that word.
I love that word.
So do you want to define it in case somebody hasn't?
Sure.
Yeah.
Metamor is when you, I guess the easiest way to explain is when you share a love. So I'm dating my partner, Madison. Madison also is dating Dasa, and Dasa and I are metamors because right. we are both dating Madison. And exactly. I'm really fortunate. I love like all of my metamors a lot. Very big, you know, poly family, as you're familiar with.
Poly fams are great. Yeah.
The best.
So it's nice when you get along with people's metamors, because that can also be a place of friction sometimes, right?
Definitely.
Especially if you have to keep two of your partners separate because they don't like each other, then they're each other's metamors and they don't...
Metamors from hell, I believe, is what I've heard it.
I mean, it kind of defies the term, right? Because meta is like beyond and then amor, love. So, yeah. Right? It's like, if you're not loving the person, then you're just a meta hater.
Meta hater, basically.
Yeah, you got meta haters.
Yeah, life's so much easier when everybody gets along, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that's nice. I mean, do you consider yourself sort of hierarchically polyamorous, or
when I first started poly, I very much clung to, you know, we cling to labels because it's what we're comfortable with. And I remember maybe even up until recently being like, I need to be the primary, I need to be the most important, these people are secondary. And it kind of comes to a realization, you know, you hide behind the rules and the roles and then the hierarchy, when really it's pretty simple. You're just having a relationship with a person and then another person. And the relationship with another person doesn't change your original relationship. It's just a different one. It doesn't have to be first or second or most important or less important. Like, they're all important in their own way and they're all different.
So you don't use sort of primary, secondary anymore?
I don't really anymore. No.
Have you ever used the terms anchor?
Anchor and nesting, because nesting is kind of a cute one, right? They live together, they're little birds.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't really do the whole like primary thing anymore. I used to, but
how
now.
How do you feel about relationship anarchy then?
I'm totally okay with it.
Yeah.
I remember it used to be like, no, there needs to be structure, but there doesn't really need to be. If everybody's being open, upfront, honest, and safe, then.
Yeah, because I feel that if you're able to renegotiate boundaries constantly through communication, that for me is my kind of idea of relationship anarchy.
Yeah.
100%. Is that you don't have something preset that's always going to condition the way that you behave and the way that you engage in new relationships or existing relationships. It's something that you get to negotiate as you go along, because people do change their minds about things. And
new things come up
that
you didn't touch on before. You might change your mind about something. People change. I change all the time. I'm sure
exactly.
you do too.
Yeah. And I always go back to the same thing, and people are probably tired of hearing me say this, that I like my poly relationships like I like my friendships, right?
Yeah.
You don't really, with your friends, you don't really worry too much about status and labels and so on, unless you're in grade school, besties and who's not and whatever.
Yeah.
But you let things kind of flourish organically, and you communicate with your friends, and hopefully they enable you to have rich and rewarding relationships with other people and their friends, and you enjoy it when your friends get along with your other friends and you make groups of friends, and that's kind of my idea of it. That's
totally
what I like.
Enjoying your time together is like the most important part.
Yeah, and getting to be slutty.
Yeah, all the sex.
Just all of it. Just all the goods.
Yes.
Okay, so then let's get into your work. Okay. Aqua Flirt. Tell me about that. When did you get started?
So I haven't really been with a club very long. I started in December, and have mostly hosted events like DTF, which is gangbang night, and unicorn night, which is couples looking for their unicorn, their elusive woman. Actually, that's coming up this Saturday. It's always super busy. It's really fun.
I've seen it.
I know, you've definitely seen it.
I've been.
Yeah, it's a fun job. It's a lot of socializing, kind of showing people the ropes for people who are new, need tours, or just have questions. And then coordinating performers, getting that. I mean, you've probably seen me do that, scrambling for people to start on time and things like that, and running games, and kind of if there's not enough participation, we will participate. I was wrestling for a sock on Tuesday in the dungeon, so that was really fun.
Wrestling for a sock.
Yes.
Hang on. I'm trying to picture. Are you trying to get the sock from somebody?
So it's this game where you're each wearing one sock. Uh-huh. And the only rule is you have to remove the sock off of the other person before your sock is removed.
Oh.
So anything goes. And it usually ends up in grappling and on the floor. And it was fun. It was one of the games we did on DTF. Did
you win?
I lost the first round, had a rematch, and won the second round.
Ooh. All right.
I came back for my revenge.
Knock your socks off that game.
Yeah, that sounds, it's actually fun.
Yeah, I want to play next time I'm there.
I'll challenge you.
Okay. I'll let you wear two socks.
Really?
Yeah.
You might regret that.
We'll find out. Just grab both at the same time.
I'm very wiggly, so.
Wiggly. Yeah. Is there oil involved?
No.
There should
be. Just socks.
Be.
There should be, well,
there should be oil, because then you get slippery.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't let. Yeah. Anyways, this my mind's really going places. I'm like
thinking oil, like, sock wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. Oil sock wrestling. So this is what you do at the club as part of your Aquaflirt position.
Yes.
Have you done any events outside of the club?
I have done. We did a really fun event where we've been going to the Super Wonder Gallery. They had a really cool all about sex show, where all the art exhibits were sexual and really, really cool. There was awesome pole dancers performing, and we kind of go around, chat with people, hand out coupons to the club, and it's fun. It was a fun event because everybody who's at that event mostly knows what Oasis is, so you don't have to explain it to them.
Yeah, they're just like,
they're like, oh yeah, give me my coupon.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, come on, 50% off, let's do it.
And we did. I did another event too with Cece actually, and another girl, where we did the No Pants Subway Ride, which was in January.
I wanted to go to that.
Was so cool. But it was so fun. It was amazing. We're like dancing on the subway, like wearing Oasis underwear, and somebody had a boombox, and it was just like a big party of pantsless people in the middle of winter. I guess that's why it's effective, because in the summer, people would be like, oh, whatever, pantsless people. But in the winter, everyone's like, what is going on?
I've been wanting to go for like the past 5 years, and every year I make some kind of excuse and I don't go.
You should come next year with the Oasis crew. I'm sure we'll be doing it again. There ended up being an after party where there was like a big dance party, No Pants dance party.
At the club? No, with the group.
It was somewhere in Bloor, because I remember we walked from Dufferin Station up Bloor all pantsless, and like cars were honking at us and stuff. It was pretty wild.
Sounds like fun. Are you doing the naked bike ride this year?
Well, here's the thing. Small town girl, I've been, since moving here, terrified to go on a bicycle in the city.
Oh.
Like, I'm nervous.
But
I'm nervous.
It's cordoned off. Like,
if it's safe.
It is safe.
I will consider it.
It's
safe. Yeah, I mean, I'll do it. I'll probably do it. Yeah.
I went last year and I was riding along the Oasis crew. It was fun.
Yeah, I feel like it would be really fun. I hope we do the topless march too, because I'm super down for that as well. Yeah.
I'd like to come.
Yeah.
Is it our... Is anybody allowed there? Or?
I think I'm not 100% sure. I will look into it for you as well.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then since you've been at the club, you've also started participating. Or no, you started doing the porn shoots before you were an Aquaflirt.
Yeah, I did. I did the yoga porn before I started working there. And then kind of afterwards, Fatima would definitely approach me for different projects. So I've done the Sibian porn, and a Bukkake night porn. So they're trying to showcase a little bit of what events are like at Oasis. And so the Sibian was one of them. Bukkake was one of them. So that was definitely an interesting shoot.
So what is it like shooting porn?
Shooting at Oasis is great. Like, it's super comfortable, right? I know the person who's filming, the producer, you know, I work with all of them, and it's a very safe, controlled environment. So it's fun. It's a lot of fun. And usually it's for money shot, so people are watching us film while we're doing it. So that also
kind
of adds. So
it's both spectator and porn shoot.
Exactly. Yeah. So spectator, definitely in my alley. The filming part, still a little new, but it's fun. I enjoy it.
So did you do spectator sex before you did porn.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So what? Let's describe it. What exactly is spectator sex at Oasis?
So spectator sex is when couples, sometimes a threesome, performs by having sex in front of a room full of people in the ballroom. Usually is where it takes place. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, anyone's welcome to watch, and you're usually on the pullout mattress bed type thing in the middle of the room, and people can watch you have sex. And sometimes it's themed. I remember we did a food themed spectator sex.
Food?
Yeah, it was like food night. And it was, we were really like trying to think of ideas. We're like, oh, can we make a flogger out of licorice? Or, and I think we ended up just using chocolate syrup. Like my partner covered me in chocolate syrup and got some audience participation, some people to come lick it off and stuff.
Yum.
It's been a while since I've done a performance for spectators, so I'm kind of missing doing that. I should start doing it again.
So you enjoy it.
I love it.
You're a bit of an exhibitionist.
Totally.
What does that feel like? What do you enjoy about it? Because from my perspective, having sex in front of other people is anxiety inducing.
I think I'm just a bit of a show off. I'm a Leo, so I love being in the center of attention.
I'm a Taurus, and so do I, but I also get performance anxiety.
That's fair. I mean, I guess when I'm performing, when I'm in the act of doing spectator sex, I'm not really paying attention to what's going on. Mm-hmm. I know I'm being watched. I kind of get a thrill from doing that, but I really am focused on the person or people that I'm having sex with. And I don't know, we just look great when we fuck. So people really enjoy our performances. And like, the first time is super scary, but after that, when you have people come up and say like, oh, great job, we really enjoyed it, you're like, fuck yeah, I'm awesome. Mm-hmm. And like, generally people don't care as long as you're doing something, like instead of just sitting nothing there, right? Like, it doesn't really matter what you do as long as you are having sex or doing some sort of sexual act. People are usually pretty into it. Even rope and things like that. Like people who are new to BDSM who watch the performances are always really into that. So
yeah, because it's something different.
Yeah,
it's not something that you always see in porn.
Exactly.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I was just trying to wrap my mind around the idea of exhibitionism, whether it's more of a turn-on that it gives you a sense of body positivity, you're being watched and you're being sort of validated, or is it that in combination with the idea that your performance, your body, your being is turning somebody else on and that they want to be there and see it and maybe makes you feel sexy. I don't know.
I think it's a combination for sure.
So is it a sense of empowerment?
Yeah. I mean, I love the fact even on FetLife that people are like, oh my God, I like jerked off to your pictures or your videos. I'm like, fuck yeah. Like it's totally a confidence boost for sure.
Except those people that slide into your DMs on Insta with dick pics.
For free. You can say nice things to me and say compliments, but yeah, don't send me dick pics or ask me to hang out.
So I gave you a proposal today. Yeah. You came in, you talked about your DMs on Insta.
Yeah.
And I think it's a feasible market plan. You should just put it in your Insta profile. You may send me a dick pic. I will rate it for the price of $5.
Agreed.
Deposit it in my account, and then I will send you a rating, 1 to 10, of how great I find your dick.
I think that's a great idea. So right? Stay tuned, Instagram.
Yeah, paid for your labor, and you know it's a good deal. It's only $5. That's like the price of a really big coffee or a really fancy coffee. So you better have a really fancy dick.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great idea.
It's a good paid service. Yeah. I always get these ideas when I'm like chatting with people about these things, how to monetize your labor, your time, your recreational activities. That's how I got to the panty thing that I did at Oasis.
I love that.
I proposed that when I did the CC interview.
It's so great. Yeah. It's so great. It's awesome. I love that you're donating. Like, I think it's a really great idea. And, like, who doesn't want to buy awesome used panties that have been worn by super hot people? Like,
well, some of them have sold, but there's still a bunch that haven't. And now I'm selling them online. So I'm hoping that people are going to, like, pick up. It's just, it's a little bit more difficult if you don't have models that already have notoriety and are comfortable exposing their face along with this sort of product. Right?
Understood.
Because if people have that, like cam models or whatever, it's much easier. They have their audience already, and then there's that connection with the pervy side of things. So in this way, I'm the medium. It's a guy selling you somebody else's panties, which
it's
a thing. It's obviously it's not the best method, but hopefully.
Have you advertised for it on FetLife?
I believe I did.
You have? Because I feel like that would be a pretty good place. Like,
yeah,
there's some weirdos on there that definitely want to buy panties. Not that buying panties is weird, mind you, but...
It's a little weird, but it's an interesting weird. Yeah. Depends, yeah.
It's normal.
Yeah.
It's normal for this community, right?
Well, I mean, I've had partners leave pairs of panties here, and I've definitely smelled them.
Of course.
After they left, and of they course. Smell great.
Have you, like, kept them as souvenirs? Or you return them usually?
Depends on the panties. I've done both.
Cool.
Let's put it, I've done both. At the moment, I have a pair of panties and I don't know who they belong to. And I've had them for like years and they're sitting in my closet. And mystery panties.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's the panty thing. So let's go back to the spectator.
Okay.
We talked about spectator. Exhibitionism feels empowering.
Yeah.
It's great. I imagine it's like any kind of performance. You sing, you kind of get that adrenaline rush. Am I good? And then you get the audience reaction. Wow. Then you feel good about yourself. I put on a performance. I entertain somebody. I turn somebody on. That feels great. Is porn any different?
Yes, it is a little different. I think there's a little bit more pressure because you know that people can watch it again and again mm-hmm. and again.
Where
it's spectator,
recorded.
It's the one-time shot. Yeah. If you do something stupid mm-hmm. or, you know, silly, it doesn't matter. But porn is a little more pressure because you also want to produce good content for the
right.
people that are producing it for you. So it's a little more, there's a little more people involved and it's not just you and the person that you're having sex with. So porn can be a little more intimidating for sure. It's fun though. Like, I mean, I still enjoy it. I think I'm also still kind of new in it, so I still kind of have to get used to it. But
so are you just doing the porn through Money Shot and Erotica at Oasis, or is there any other porn avenues that you're thinking about exploring? Have you ever done cam modeling?
I've never done cam modeling. Props to all of the people that do, because it's a really awesome job, but it is hard. Like, it does take work. You have to put the time in for it to be financially beneficial. But I'm thinking about it. I'm definitely exploring my options. I do have some people who have approached me. I just want to make sure I do it the right way. So for now, it's through Oasis mostly and J-Erotica, but I really enjoy doing it and I really want to do more of it. So you will probably see way more porn with me in it.
And then the erotic photo shoots that you've done, are they erotic staged or are they sometimes in the moment of you actually playing with your partners?
It's always real. I don't do staged.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all real.
So it's like there's a scene going on, you're playing with your partners, and then the photographer is just there taking shots
just
while
capturing
okay.
it. Yeah.
And is that different from porn at all?
Yes, because sometimes you forget the photographer's there. I mean, the ones that I've worked with are really quiet and sweet and very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the comparison with porn would be the porn I've shot at Oasis, there's usually a live audience, where if it's the erotic photography, it's myself, my partner, and the photographer. So it's very intimate. And yeah, they're not telling you to do anything. They're just letting you do your thing and taking pictures of it and capturing cool stuff. Yeah, the Sensual Eye, if you've heard of him,
yeah,
worked
yeah.
with him multiple occasions.
A lot of my friends have worked with the Sensual Eye and Nympho Ninja.
Nympho Ninjas yeah. is someone yeah. else I've worked with mostly through Oasis.
Mm-hmm.
Also really great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have these folks on Instagram. I have not yet met them in person, but I've seen their work and it's been excellent. And a lot of my friends have gone to them. So I've seen there's like a weird web of people that I'm like by some degree of separation in contact with through some social media, but I wouldn't know if I ran into them on the street.
In real life yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Nympho Ninjas does quite a bit at Oasis, so yeah. I'm sure you'll cross paths for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they both create such beautiful art. You know, it's not just porn or erotic images. Like, they do really capture beautiful moments.
It is quite artistic.
Yeah.
I had the interview with Greg and Edith, and they did something with the Sensual Eye with their third partner together.
Oh,
so they
wow.
had like a threesome scene, but it was not vulgar in any sense. It looked very
classy,
sensual, very romantic.
Yeah.
It looked really good. So I really enjoyed that the series of photos there.
I'll have to look for those pictures. I'm sure they're amazing.
Mm.
Yeah.
So then, what do you want to do? You've been working at Oasis, you've been doing the Aquaflirt, been doing some erotic photography and the porn and we're talking about you potentially becoming a porn star. How far would you actually want to go with this?
There's a few things holding me back. The main reason why my Instagram is private. I am, you know, a little paranoid of myself being outed where I'm from. Mm-hmm. Which I think if I do want to become bigger is going to be inevitable. I just haven't gotten to the point where I'm comfortable with every single guy from my hometown knowing what I do. That's a big
Are you worried more about the guys or your family?
My parents for sure. I mean, the guys, I guess at the end of the day, if I'm making money off of it, I don't really care.
Yeah.
But if anyone showed like my parents, I would be pretty upset about it. And it's that type of place where they're like, did you see this? Or yeah. So that's probably my main hesitation for not going bigger with it yet. I mean, give me 6 months. I seem like the more I live in Toronto, the less fucks I give. So it's eventually.
But I understand what you're saying, because in one sense you have Toronto where the people are, at least they're heavily exposed to all this kind of stuff that's going on in the city, and it garners a greater sense of sex positivity.
Yes.
Not always, but More so than small towns. Exactly. But this is why this platform and this podcast and what I was hoping to do here was to sort of gain a little bit more sex positivity just by hearing the voices of the people involved. Like, it's humans that are enjoying what they do. It's part of their lives. And it's not necessarily whatever stereotype you have built in your head, especially in the worst case scenario where people think, oh, it's a tragedy, human trafficking, you got into this, somebody manipulated you, you're constantly on drugs, and you must be hating it, you must need the money. Right. Yeah, like
it brings us joy and satisfaction. Yeah. And no one's getting hurt, you know, and there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
But I know if I became a big famous porn star, I would probably never be able to go home, because
Yeah.
It's just too small of a place, right?
Yeah. And then all those guys would probably want to talk to you.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah. After seeing your work.
So many sliding in the DMs, but...
Yeah. Well, that's the thing with it. So then what is it that you do want to do? What are like the baby steps that you're comfortable taking now?
I want to keep doing more photography. I really love it. I also really want to do more rope bottoming. I love rope, like bondage is really therapeutic for me, and I really, really enjoy being tied. I'd like to learn more about tying too. And I kind of want to finally become a good dancer. I'm really bad at dancing, so could you give me lessons sometime? Because I've watched you, and you're pretty good.
The pole work?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, even your like everyday regular dancing is probably better than mine. Like, mine is bad, and I feel like it's part of my job. I should probably
what kind of dancing do you want to do?
Like burlesque?
Oh,
I think it would be fun. I mean, I'm interested in all of that. I did a little bit of pole dancing, just like beginner classes years ago, so I used to be able to invert, but
yeah, there's a few places like Brass Fixins, they do the whole stuff. There's Burlesque University that does classes,
yes,
and then performances at places like Cherry Cola's, Bovine Sex Club, and another place I forget.
Yes, that's definitely on my to-do list of things to kind of round out all of my skills.
It's tackling a lot of work though.
Yeah.
Trying to constantly develop yourself and be this thing and be this marketable product. It's exhausting.
But then juggling, you know, your day job as well.
It is. It's everything, and it's what sucks about it is that everything you do somehow has to be related to money, because this is, you know, the system we're living in right now is very expensive.
Yep.
So it's like, I can't really have a hobby for the sake of the hobby.
Exactly.
I got to have it so that it can actually produce some sort of income at the end of the day. So yeah, I burlesque because it would be an asset for my job, or because I could eventually be on stage and make some money. And, you know, yeah, so it kind of sucks because it sucks a little bit of the fun out of it when you can't necessarily
do it. You can't do it for enjoyment.
Yeah.
I mean, if you enjoy doing it and you make money off of it, that's great, right? You're getting the best of both worlds, but we all have to be coming up with schemes to live in this amazing city, because it costs a lot of money to live here.
It does.
It's worth it, though. It's totally worth it.
Well, it would be better if the political system was such that we didn't have to struggle.
It's true.
To live in rent downtown, which now apparently I was reading an article that it's... you have to be making, what was it, like 50 or 60 grand a year to afford renting in downtown Toronto.
Oh, yeah. I would believe that.
Is what they were saying. Yeah.
For sure.
This is based on some sort of averaging. I don't know what the statistics were. It seems a little high, though. 50, 60? I think you could still get by on 40. Yeah, I think you
could get by on
40. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you could get the rent, and it depends. I think they're assuming like one-bedroom apartment, transportation, which isn't a car, actually. I saw that statistic. It was like a TTC pass. But it assumes you're living alone in a one-bedroom, I think.
Most people don't live alone.
Yeah, most people. Well, because it's fucking hard to afford. Right? You have to live with roommates. You have to live in a rented room, basement apartments where you get no sunlight.
The worst.
Yeah. And if you can afford to rent a condo, I think one bedrooms that used to be even 1600 are approaching like 2 grand now.
That's insane.
Yeah. So
there goes my dream of living alone in a condo.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you just got to produce more.
Just to be a famous porn star.
Yeah. You got to produce that higher visibility porn that might reach certain areas of the world that you don't want them to reach.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you can wear a mask. You could be the masked porn star.
My tattoos would give me away.
Yeah.
Right?
I guess.
They're pretty...
Yeah.
You know, like people would see yours and be like, oh, I know who that is.
That's exactly why I didn't go into porn.
Just your voice.
No, it's just the tats, right?
Like, yeah.
No, but it's a combination of things, obviously, for that. So you would want to potentially do a little bit more, but just baby steps.
Baby steps, yeah. I think I'll get there. Again, I just have to care less about other people's opinions. But I mean, yeah, when you come from a small place where that's all you care about is what people think or your perception or how people perceive you, it's kind of hard to get that out of your system. But I'm learning. I mean, I feel like I've come a pretty long way since moving here. For 2 years, I've accomplished quite a bit. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Would you want to pursue this as like a life career?
Yeah. I mean, if it was
lucrative.
If it was lucrative enough. Mm. Yes, exact word I was looking for. Yeah, definitely.
Awesome.
Definitely.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's been really great chatting with you and getting to know yet another employee of Always Suck. I've pretty much interviewed the entire team at this point. I've had quite a few people from bartenders, aqua flirts to owners. It's nice to get the different perspectives.
Totally.
And you've been a customer, aqua flirt, porn star.
All of the above. Yeah. It's a super fun place.
Sorry. Well, and remind the audience again, the Insta.
Miss Lola Jean XO.
There
you go. Like hugs and kisses at the end.
Like hugs and kisses.
Yeah.
Miss Lola Jean XO on Instagram. Add if you want to send dick pics, $5.
$5.
That's cheap.
That is cheap.
Price of a coffee in Toronto.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for having me. You're listening to Intellectual Erection, a place where we talk about the naughty to stimulate your thinking.